Hello, everyone. I'm Jake DeLorco, Dean of Enrollment at the Loomis Chaffey School. Our admission team is proud to share this thoughtful content created by former Dean of Enrollment, Amy Thompson. While Amy has transitioned from her role at Loomis, her voice and insights continue to reflect the vibrant life and culture of our school. If what you hear resonates with you, we'd love to continue the conversation. Please don't hesitate to reach out to our admission office. We're here to help you explore all that Loomis has to offer. And now, enjoy.
I'm particularly excited today because I get to have a conversation with two of my incredible colleagues, both of whom are dorm heads at Loomis Chaffey. We're going to be talking with Skylar and Donnie about the philosophy around the boarding program at Loomis, the day-to-day around the boarding program at Loomis. Super excited to talk to them today. So thank you, first of all, you guys, for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So first, Skylar, I'm going to start with you, and I'd love to have you just take a moment to introduce yourself to our prospective families and talk a little bit about who you are and the many hats you've worn at Loomis Chaffey.
Awesome. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Skylar. I am a dorm head here at Loomis. I am now the dorm head of Cutler Hall, which is an underclassmen girls dorm. So we have freshmen, sophomores, and junior prefects as our leaders in the dorm. I am also teaching in the social science department, doing econ and psychology classes, and I coach soccer and track and field, and I also graduated from Loomis in 2017 and I'm an alumni and loved it so much I had to come back.
So you come to this residential life experience with some very different experiences, also not just as a dorm head, but also as a former student and boarder who lived in the dorm. So I'm going to have you unpack that a little bit in a moment. But first, I'd love to have Donnie, if you could take a moment to introduce yourself. You've been here a while now. Tell us a little bit about the various things that you do.
Yeah, so I'm Donnie McKillop, came here in 2017, moved onto campus that summer and have been running Wareham Hall, which is an upperclassman boys dorm right on the main quad, Grubbs Quad there, which is the upperclassman quad. Great place to be. I've really enjoyed living there with my wife. We've actually raised a family of four since moving in. So I guess a family of six, there's four kids. And we have really enjoyed it. I'm also the head baseball coach, assistant football coach, and also move in and out of club basketball and thirds basketball, depending on the winter. So really enjoyed the residential experience is a huge part of what my family does on campus. My wife works in the dorm with me as well. So, you know, Katie has been doing Tuesdays since we moved into, which has been a real joy for us. So residential life, I would say, is a huge component of why I still work and live at boarding school for sure.
So let's just start there because Loomis is not the first boarding school that you've worked at. You've worked at other boarding schools as well. And so I'd love to hear a little bit from you about your experience around like the philosophy of boarding at Loomis and the goals around the residential life experience. So as a dorm head in your dormitory, what are you trying to accomplish? And what is the experience of residential life at Loomis for a typical student?
One of the pieces that I always talk about in Wareham is really creating a home of positivity, respect, and kindness. And a lot of it is just creating a place of belonging for students to feel comfortable and really have a home away from home. It's a place for kids to, while they're going through a lot of ambitious challenges in school and sport and art, whatever they're attacking as their passions here, they get to come back to the dorm and really kind of kick back, decompress, and have a lot of trust and love around them, whether that's from their dorm faculty, whether it's their peers, the RA group. There's a lot to really unpack. For us at Loomis, we're in a two-tiered structure, as Amy was referencing, where there's that underclassman dorm experience and the upperclassman dorm experience. So for me, I really am honed in on the upperclassman dorm, as I have, you know, mostly junior, seniors, and PGs in my building. And so with that, there's a certain set of rules and philosophies that come along with it that are a little bit tailored to that age bracket. And there's a little bit more of the quiet hours in the evening, as opposed to maybe a bit more of an enforced study hall in the underclassmen, where we're trying to really instill more habits of learning.
So as you're talking, you know, Skylar is nodding and nodding and nodding. And so I know that there's similar themes along the underclass dormitories as well. And I'm sure also, Skylar, in your own personal experience in the dormitory. So can you just talk a little bit about, first of all, you know, how is this different or similar to in terms of the work that you do as a dorm head with the two dorms that you've done and also your own personal experience at the school?
Yeah, definitely. Going back to that dorm life meeting we had this morning, we heard a lot of words that our fellow dorm heads are trying to cultivate and put into action. A lot of safety, belonging, and then instilling the joy and living in a place that can be your home and community, but where you learn to show respect because you're sharing it with others. And that's something that's really important. And a lot of kids haven't shared a space with 48 to plus adults and children, you know, all these other people. And so it's a learning curve that the underclassmen dorms really focus on helping them transition and learn that while also showing all the fun benefits of getting to do that. And so we have those rigid study hall policies where we're allowing them 2 hours to learn how to sit down and get their work done so they're not overwhelmed and stressed throughout the week. And when they have maybe a free period or time between practice and dinner, they can hang out because they have done their work in those 2 hours that were allotted to them. We are instilling them early habits of going to sleep and taking care of shared spaces. So work jobs in the dorm are not about putting the kids to work. It's about understanding that we have this space and we want it to be a place we can all feel welcome in, but we have to clean up after ourselves. We can't leave our pizza box behind and just assume it's going to get picked up because we have dorm faculty. What's nice about it is then seeing them go to upperclassmen dorms and giving them that privilege and that trust that they've learned how to do their work. And so, you know what? We're not going to sit here and tell you, you have to sit down for 2 hours, but we still have that time for quiet hours and allowing you to facilitate that time that you need if you need it.
Right. So the residential life programming is very developmentally based. It's, you know, it's not the same for someone who's a new ninth grader versus, you know, somebody who might come in as a postgraduate, right? Because there is a lot of developmental growth within that time. And so
exactly,
the foundational structure that you're building in the underclass dorm then gets kind of like handed off to Donnie and his peers who are running the upperclass dormitories, correct?
Yeah. And the nice thing too is that even with the bulk of the underclassmen moving up into those upperclassmen dorms, some of your new juniors who come in or postgrads who maybe need that transition in, there's a lot of those instilled habits in some of those kids coming up in the quiet hours. So that idea of respecting the idea of quiet time, you also your RAs in the upperclassmen dorm. So those are your student leaders. We have 6 of them, 2 on each floor in Wareham. And those kids are really instrumental in kind of bridging that gap in the orientation phase of what new Wareham will be year in and year out. And so, you know, with that kind of glue of the Pelican underclassmen living, I think then they come up and they teach some newer students who are maybe older juniors or PGs, and then also the other coexisting students who have risen up to the upperclassmen living. And it just creates a really nice culture. And I think some of the best parts of our dorm in Wareham is seeing who the new guys are that come in each year and kind of adding the spice of life and who came over from Kravis and Harmon, and then they're finally together again in Wareham. There's right. just a lot of joy and kind of meeting the kids where they are and figuring out what they're going to need. I think the kind of the staff dynamics of it are really neat too, because in each dorm, you've got 6 or 7 faculty members that are going to be in charge of the whole building. And it's cool to see where they come from. And the dean's office does a great job of diversifying kind of what the specialties are of that staff. So you might have an English teacher, a math teacher, an associate athletic director, a foreign language teacher, whatever that is. And it's nice because students might relate better to certain passions they have, whether it's academically, athletically, or in the arts. It's cool to have, you know, someone who you might look up to or share common bonds with in your building once a week or once every 3 weekends.
Right. So one of the things that I'm hearing from both of you is, first of all, this idea, I've heard the word joy more than once, and that's not yeah, unusual, Loomis, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, but I'm also hearing structure too.
Yeah.
And even in the upper class dorms, there is structure around what that quiet time looks like or whatever. And I think it would be helpful for our audience to just back up a little bit and just give some details about, like, what is a typical night look like, Skylar, in your dorm versus Donnie's dorm?
During the week looks a little bit different than the weekends. And so if you have a school night coming up, we have check-in from 7 to 7:30. And then you have a 15-minute period between 7:30 and 7:45 to help you decompress, find your English book if you misplaced it, maybe fill up your water, do all the things you need to do so that by 7:45, you can place your phone outside your dorm room, your door is open, and you're sitting at your desk to do work. Mm-hmm. So you have from 7:45 to 9:45 to sit down. The dorm is quiet. Everyone has to be sitting down doing their work.
And who makes sure that's happening,
yeah,
Skylar?
So there is always a duty person on duty. So a faculty member who will be on duty for that time. And there will also be 2 prefects on duty, one for each floor, the second floor and the third floor. And the duty persons on duty on the first floor.
And the prefects being the upper class students.
The upper class and leaders. So the juniors in the dorm are our prefects, and they will be on duty on the second and third floor. And so they kind of just help make sure that the floor is staying quiet, that people are at their desk doing work. You know, they're not taking a nap or all the fun things. And just so that we are getting our work done and really getting what we need to. Yeah. As the year goes on, sophomores get privileges to go to the library during that time, and they can kind of fly the nest a little bit and be able to meet up and do group work. And then at 9:45, you know, we call study hall over. They do a check-in, so we make sure that everyone is here, and then work jobs get done. So every student throughout the year will be assigned a work job. It's lasts a week, and they rotate through everyone in the dorm. So I'm not sure exactly how often, but it's like maybe once a month, once every 2 months, you have a work job for a week. That could be taking out the trash on the third floor, or just making sure the common room's tidy, or cleaning the kitchen. And once you've done that, you are free until 10:30. You have to be in your bedroom at 10:30, ready to wind down for sleep. So you should have your teeth brushed, your water bottle filled, all of the fun things. You can chat with your friends if you need to, if you need a shower. And then at 10:45, we have wind down time. So we consider it a light lights out. So people just have to be getting in bed. So a faculty member will come around, they'll say goodnight, open the door, say goodnight, close the door, walk around. And that's the end of their night. On the weekends, there's a check-in at 7:30 p.m. and then a late check-in at 10:30. You check in earlier in the night so we know you're here. You can be let loose on campus to do all the fun activities that are going around. There can be bouncy houses sometime. There's campfires around. There's some events happening in the snug or a musical, all of the on-campus activities. And then you just have to be checked back in by late check-in, which is 10:30. And then you can be in the dorm.
Are there any particular, you mentioned the cell phones in the hallway. Are there any particular restrictions in your dormitories around Wi-Fi, cell phone usage, like, you know, anything like that? So after 10:30, is there anything that's happening to restrict any of that?
Yeah, so Wi-Fi will go out for underclassmen at around 10:45, 11. It's not exact every night, but around that time, they will lose access to help them facilitate going to bed so that they can't stay up on their laptop writing, you know, that paper. And then we also restrict phone use in the common room when we're having a snack after study hall. Okay. So most faculty members are encouraged to bring snack for after study hall. It was my favorite part of being a student. I get hungry quickly and I love a snack right before bed. And so we encourage them to bring that. And once they're in there, they should be connecting with their peers, chatting, talking to the person on duty who brought their snack and not having their head in their phone. We also instilled a new policy last year that parents are allowed to say they want their kid's phone locked up at night. So it can go in a phone box. I will say in my experience, no parent has taken up the opportunity, but it is available for parents who, you know, just want their kids to have a little bit more controlled usage of their phone.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we are trying to, again, it's developmentally appropriate, but it's also, we are trying to get them to be more independent and to learn self-discipline and to learn how to regulate their own time and their own decision-making, right? So as they then get older and they grow up and they go through up into the junior year and they hit Donnie's dormitory. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of a typical evening in your dorm as well?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest reasoning for our two-tier system is that instilling of independence and leadership and decision-making capabilities, just to really have the capacities to function as a young man or woman and really just be able to make decisions that are good for your health and kind of what you're trying to get out of Loomis. And so our check-in times are from 7 to 7:45 on weeknights and weekends at that early check-in. And what that really means is just come into the building, let us know where you are. And for kids our age too, as juniors and seniors, you're actually allowed to use the library right out the gate. That can be a bit more of kind of group work or even some kind of kids who just need to have other people around them who are being studious. And so you have a bit more of a collective social study situation in the library with the older kids that they're going to experience when they get off to college. You don't have to have your phone outside your door. It's really a privilege to get to live in those upperclassmen dorms because you've earned that leeway and you've shown that you can manage your time. And then when you get out of dinner, you'll see a lot of kids regather in the common rooms. There's a lot of great social time that happens that post-dinner, pre-study hall, quiet hours time. And then when quiet hours start for us, You know, we just ask that kids are respectful of their neighbors and let people who are studying study. As adults, we walk, you know, through the dorm on each floor, just kind of more checking in with kids to see how they're doing. If kids are putting off a little bit too much in their first 2 weeks of being in the upperclassmen housing, maybe that phone comes back out for a little bit. But those are case by case and honestly pretty rare in the upperclassmen dorms. And so what we often will have then our study hall slash quiet hours, it ends at the same time, that 9:45 window. And then we have the same work job structure. So it's a lot of the structures of your weekday are very similar. And then the end of the night, again, is similar, where you have a lot of faculty who bring in those snacks. A big common room culture of Wareham is definitely to be in that space with food and friends. We do the same thing where phones are not allowed in that space while we're eating. And also we're big on our food staying in that common room too. That's a big rule for us. When we provide the snack, we really believe that breaking bread together is an important component of what you're doing. So we don't like to have our phones out. And it really encourages kids who are maybe a bit more introverted. Everyone likes food, it feels like, since I've started working here. And so kids will come down when they hear that there's food out. And then if you're not on your phone, there's really nothing to distract them with. So then you start to get just really genuine interactions with some kids from a lot of different places. What it kind of imitates is really what you want in that home life too, where you get just have someone to unpack things with. And whether that's an adult you trust, whether it's a peer you trust, it's just a really cool place to be. And then the weekends in the upperclassmen housing, I think kids are bit more apt to get on the permission system, which I'm sure you want to dive into a little bit, the ways off of the campus. So in addition to the dances on campus, different athletics activities, the bouncy houses, the theaters that, you know, pop up on the middle of the quad, all those great things on campus. What you can also do is get off campus with a quick parent permission and a dorm person's permission or a dean's permission. You can go to the movies in West Hartford. You can go out to eat at Blueback Square. So a lot of upperclassmen will, you know, you start to really see your friend groups go off campus a little bit and explore some of those West Hartford areas and then come back onto campus and then have kind of that same joint hangout in our common room. On Fridays and Saturday nights in Wareham, you'll always find pizza or wings. That is one thing I have loved, as you talked about me being at a few different schools. I just love the resource we have in the dorms to do fun things. The ability to provide pizza and wings to our kids on Friday and Saturday nights and just really see them in their natural element. It's such a force of nature that really makes working here so fun. And sharing those rooms and spaces with kids is just a blast. And then, you know, we get to like grill out as an upperclassman cohort. The underclassmen will have like a bonfire as a cohort of dorms. And so you have these joint socials where different dorms will get together. You know, Wareham is obviously always the best dorm in dodgeball. So that's kind of our tradition. And each dorm has its own little culture and different parts of it that really make it special.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I love the fact that the residential life is both kind of consistent enough, but also individual enough, which is so Loomis, right? Yes. That we're a school where you can really be yourself and be an individual within a community. And just to shift gears a little bit, I know that a lot of the students who are listening to this are going to love hearing your energy and enthusiasm about all the fun stuff there is to do and the structure that, but one of the things that they're going to be thinking is, you know, I show up on the first day and I'm really nervous, you know, or the parents listening might be wondering, like, how is my child going to get to that point? And so, Skylar, maybe you could talk a little bit about just kind of transition to the school and what we do to make sure that our new students are transitioning well and they're meeting new friends and, you know, they're learning how to live with a roommate and all that important stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places at Loomis when you get on campus that they are facilitating you making connections. Mm-hmm. So there's the dorm and then there's all the orientation activities for new students, freshmen, new sophomores, new juniors, PGs, and just getting into classes is one way you're going to make friends and connections fast as well. But within the dorm specifically, we do a lot of group snacks at the beginning. Yeah. And what I mean by that is not just like, oh, snack, we've talked a lot about it, but snacks where you have to stay where you are. Okay. So dips, right? You're not going to take a bunch of dip to go. Right. So we really focus on doing things like that in that first week or two that forces kids to stay there. When you have your roommates and you have your floor, we connect every prefect with kind of a team.
Okay.
So in Cutler, we will have a prefect team. So a prefect will be in charge of either the floor or a different group of kids outside of the floor. It depends every year on what the prefects want to do. We like to give them a lot of agency in creating the culture and the structure. And that group will have meetings after a few of the study halls to start to kind of check in whether it's revolved around a small activity or just sitting in the hallway together or in a space in the dorm to chat. We also really encourage the prefects to buy in the beginning, like go all in, check in on kids, hang out around the dorm and really make those connections early on. Because if you make those connections early on, it's going to pay off in the long run. Right. Those kids are going to trust you. They're going to want to come to you. And then you can also, you know, sit with them at lunch and share all these experiences with them. And we also really focus on activities. So the first weekend that we're on campus, Cutler does a dorm Olympics. So that is you're randomized onto teams and you're competing in the funny and silly activities that are making everyone laugh and giggle. And we do pool nights and all of the fun things. And then every Saturday night, the faculty member on duty is required to have an activity going on in the common room.
Okay.
And so, you know, if it's your first or second or even your fifth weekend on campus and you still don't really feel like you have like that group that you want to go out with or where I don't know what's happening in the snug and I don't want to enter, there is always going to be something going on in the common room, especially for those kids that are a little more introverted and don't really know how to find those things. That is always fun. And as a former student, even as a prefect with someone who had friends at the time when I was a junior, I love just hanging out in the common room doing, you know, the face mask or the nail painting or the bracelet making to bond not only with the faculty, but with the other students that were staying behind in that area. And so that was a lot of fun. There are so many ways to make connections. And I always just stress to the kids to talk to someone new every day, sit with someone new at lunch. That was something I did. As a student, I did it in college with my roommate. We sat with a new person every day and we made so many more friends. And so I really just try and tell them that everyone's where you are. Everyone's nervous. Everyone's trying to make friends and to just keep staying high and keep staying open to new kinds of people. And you might.
Right, that's why you're here.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we look for in the admissions office. Yeah. We're looking for students who want to engage like that. Right. And so I think there's a lot of structures that our Res Life team sets up to make sure in the dorms that happens. But again, the fact that you can have some individual decisions around that based on the culture of your own dorm, as you were saying, Donnie, is great. So I know that we've talked a lot about kind of the social side of things and a little bit about the academic side of things, but I know that there's also dorm life programming, specific type of programming that we have to do, whether it's around health and safety or around particular topics and issues that we want to discuss as a dormitory. So Donnie, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the things that we've done in the past or that are planned.
Yeah. So each month we really try to get something across to our dorm that is really programmatic and is instrumental kind of teaching them pillars, I guess, of being a good citizen in the community. And so one of the ones that's really my favorite is the Healthy Relationships Program. And we've done it a variety of ways over the past few years. But pretty often we've gotten together with another upperclassman girls dorm and split into really small groups of people and had a really good dialogue between boys and girls about healthy relationships with people, whether that's boy-boy relationships, boy-girl relationships, just any type of relationship of people and respect. And it was just really meaningful to share those moments with another dorm. And other times we've done the healthy relationships conversation. We've brought in important people in that kind of those roles. Michaela Chipman has come into our building and talked a ton about, consent and different ideas about just ways to really get along with people. And those topics are so helpful for our boys, especially when they're going to go off to college soon. It can be really real in those common rooms because there's so much trust and in the relationships that have been built amongst the peer group. So we'll do floor meetings for really sensitive topics so that way you're kind of with your own floor. But it's just a place where people can be really open and vulnerable and ask questions about things they want to learn about. I think, you know, we've talked a lot about, like drugs and alcohol, healthy relationships, consent, just different things along those. We also have talked about things like academic honesty, just echoing things home that their teachers are teaching them in the class every day too. So it's a variety of subjects year in and year out. And we get a kind of a list of what we're going to do each month. And that'll come out at our next dorm life meeting, which is Friday. And we're sitting here on Tuesday. So as the year starts to open, each dorm head also signs up for two or three different programs that they're really excited about and interested in kind of jazzing up year in and year out. And I think it's just a great place where your dorm heads, and I think we did a cultural identity one as well, where people from different cultures led the conversation. There's just a variety of topics. And again, you'd really jump in on the ones you feel passionate about. leading. And then you when you hear from those dorm heads too, and you see the program of it, especially with people hopefully that you look up to, I think it's really, it hits well.
Yeah, definitely. I would say they're often enough that we're getting the dorm together in a space to have meaningful conversations, to grow together, to give them a place to ask those questions they might be afraid to ask in other scenarios. It also gives you time to put more face time with other faculty. So your affiliates who are dorm faculty that don't live in the dorm, they come, you know, once a week to do dorm night duty. They have a chance to sign up to lead some of those conversations as well and engage in the students in those more structured but challenging and fun ways as well. And all of these, although, you know, we're given a template of what they want the meeting to look like and what we need to get across, as dorms, we have the agency to add activities or any kind of thing that we know works specifically for our kids or will really connect and hone in with them. And that is what is really fun about them.
Well, one of the things I love about what both of you are talking about, too, is that it just goes to show, again, all of the different levels of safety nets and support that students have at Loomis Chafee, even though we're considered, you know, medium to larger school. We'll have 740 students this year, 520 boarding students. There's so many different layers that are built in from the dorm heads, such as you all, to the dorm faculty who live in the dormitory, to the affiliates who are in the dormitory, to the advisors who are sometimes, but not always, also affiliated with their dormitory. That doesn't even touch on the deans and the counseling office and the teachers and the coaches and everyone else. So there's a lot of people around here keeping eyes on everyone. What are some of the things that you see students struggling with when they're living away from home, they're living away from their family?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on the fact that kids are not used to living with this many people, but some kids have never had to live with a roommate, whether it be a sibling or anything. They've never had to share that tight of a space. And so I think in girls' dormitories, roommate issues happen. And so we really try and keep an eye on roommate pairs, roommate dynamics, roommate tensions, and we try and safeguard against this as much as we can, right? So when it comes to pairing people, we look at their similar interests when they fill out the housing survey, but there's only so much you can know from those kinds of things. Right. And then once they get into school, about a month in, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks in, once they've gotten to know their roommate, they might know their quirks and whatnot, we ask them to fill out a housing contract. And it's not as formal as it sounds, but it's just, hey, how many times do we want to have visitors? How do we want to talk about this? What are our rules around having food in the room? All of that. And so if there are problems, the faculty can go, well, let's bring out the contract. What did you guys talk about before? Oh, should we maybe come back to this? Like, you know, you guys want to change this?
Right,
how do we want to talk
working?
About this?
Right, right.
I think that is a huge thing. People are different and have different things they're used to and cultures and quirks and just idiosyncrasies that you have to learn. And I think what's really nice is we do a great job at helping them grow together through it. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just being like, well, we need to tell them that that's not good, that they're doing that. You know, it's bringing conversations and getting them to learn how to understand where other people are coming from and working through that, because those sort of problems are going to come up time and time again in your life. And so it's also really meaningful to understand how to live and work with other people.
Right. So just the fact that it's just learning how to live with others,
right?
Especially in an underclass dorm where, like, especially, you know, ninth grade, the majority of them have never done that before, right? At a boarding school. So Donnie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think for me too, and often we get some older kids who maybe are about to go off to college. But a lot of it is just living away from home for the first time. You know, the first couple days you can be a little bit homesick. And you can be like, you know, as Skylar's saying, sharing all of this new space and being told to maybe vacuum a common room. There's just a lot of this, like, added responsibility right away, a natural respect of other people needed that's going to happen over time, and like a missing of just home. And so, you know, when you're battling all of these things, oftentimes it's just a lot of personal touch that comes from, whether that can be your RA that just senses it. I'm a Southern California boy that now lives in the middle of Connecticut, so I can really vibe with not being home, you know, and really just helping kids through those types of situations is a thing that I really like to be a part of. You know, when there's hardship at home or hardship away from school, seeing kids who have that kind of feel and being empathetic in our ways as kind of caregivers, that can be really challenging when kids are struggling to grow up through things on campus, whether that's academically, socially, like those things hit a little bit harder when you're in charge of these boys full time. And so those, I think, are really interesting challenges that we really equip, as you were talking about the layers and the scaffolding, you just equip the people that are really, I think, structured well around the student to really swallow them up and make them, you know, understand that they're going to be all right and help them navigate maybe some rougher waters, whether it's homesickness, whether it's, you know, any type of grief or things that are away from the school. I have one example where I had a kid who was walking out of the health center and his head was hanging, and he and I had just gone through something very similar. And so we just kept walking around the loop, and then he taught my kids how to swim on Sundays. You know, there was just like certain connections that you start to make with kids in the building, and seeing them struggle. It can be hard, but being there for them is probably some of the most rewarding work that there is.
So I love how you mentioned seeing them struggle, because I can tell you that some of the parents who are listening to this are thinking, okay, so when I get that first text, you know, at 11 o'clock on, you know, the second week of school, and from my child, and says, you know, can we talk?
Right.
You know, what advice do you have for the parents listening around dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely start by reaching out to the advisor or the dorm parent or the dorm head, and just kind of try to get some context to what is going on with your son or daughter. I think that those are pretty easy things for us to typically have a handle on if the kid feels comfortable sharing. Early on, it can be challenging. I would say, you know, trust the process here. Over time, we're going to be able to really support your son or daughter. And I do think too, that parents can really be as involved in this process as is appropriate. And I think that parents do a really nice job at Loomis of really giving their students space to grow and to develop and flourish, but also, you know, to maybe show up and be a little bit more part of it. It's really up to their own parenting style. I do think the kind of each kid comes with a different kind of set of circumstances and what they want to get out of it. And so, you know, whatever led to the enrollment decision, reminding of those intentions and what the challenges you knew may be ahead of you, they're certainly conquerable here. Finding peers who are going through similar situations, it's pretty easy. If you're a new junior, you got plenty of other new juniors here. With the parent, it would A, be like, don't panic. B,
right. That's what I was going to say. Like, don't hit the panic button.
Don't panic. Get some context. And then let's make an educated decision about what's best for your son or daughter moving forward. One of the most beautiful things about Loomis, as you said, kind of that bigger size school with 740 students, is you're not pigeonholed to one track at Loomis. There's no cookie cutter Loomis student. You can really just be your best self and find some things in this common good that are like super attractive and fun to be a part of for all walks of life. It's a pretty sweet space.
Yeah, I was definitely going to start with don't hit the panic button. Yeah. And I think the number one, well, I think the number one reason for that also is most of the times the parent is the first sounding board that the kid has, right? Exactly. And so when a problem arises, they're just going to tell them like exactly how they're feeling. And so although that might be true and everything might be a struggle at the time, sometimes it de-escalates or with communication, it all gets solved pretty quickly. As long as you communicate with another adult, right? If your child reaches out to you and you just want to let someone know that they did, that usually is more than enough for us as faculty to be like, okay, we have an eye on this kid. We are not going to let them fall through the cracks or fall behind or really struggle on their own. Mm-hmm. But letting them struggle is also really important to their growth.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No
worries. How often do you think parents should be communicating with their children?
It depends on the parent-child relationship. Okay. I really do. I don't think you want to be communicating with them all the time, all day, every day. I have had an advisee who went through that and then realized this is kind of not great for
it's
me.
It's hard for the student.
Yeah, it's hard for the student. It's hard for the parent too, right? Like there's a balance. Everyone needs something different. There shouldn't be a, you know, well, Sally calls her mom twice a day and well, he hasn't heard from his child.
Right.
And it's different. And it's just getting to know the new normal on like checking in, making sure they're okay. And we will also always reach out if something is a concern. We're not going to not talk to them.
And that's a good point too. Like every dorm head communicates out to the kind of the, what I would call the constituents, you know, at really timely points where we're going to communicate with a parent group And if something is going wrong with your student, someone will have communicated with you. And so I think, you know, figuring out what their schedule looks like, what their personality traits are like at boarding school in terms of how often do they want to be talking to you? Do they want to be in their own room talking to you at night? Or are they okay stepping away from a really fun social thing to have a quick check-in with you? Just finding the level of respect kind of that goes both ways. And as dorm parents too, we're also really good at getting an email or a text from or a phone call from a parent being like, hey, can you just have Johnny call me? And and we're good at that. Like if it has been too long, we can go poke your son or daughter. They'll be like, hey, let's maybe be respectful to your parents and like connect with them. You know, so just in certain ways, if there's business to be taken care of, like it's easy to get in touch with your student. But I think finding out their schedule, what their life is like, the structures they have in place here, and what times work for a consistent basis is the most beneficial, I think, for both people in the relationship too.
So I'm just going to throw a impulsive question at you to wrap up. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Ready.
So why are you dorm heads at Loomis Chafee?
Being dorm head at Loomis is my favorite part of the job. I really love being able to see a kid as a full person. And I think being a dorm head really allows you to do that. In the classroom and as a coach, you might get one side. Right. And seeing who they are around their friends in a home environment is so nice to give you perspective on, you know, a student as a whole and where they might be coming from and growing empathy. And I love having that opportunity to create those relationships. I've created some amazing connections with students as their dorm head, as someone they want to come to. And it is really meaningful. Being at Loomis and staying at Loomis is something I love. I love to be here. I mean, I went to school here. I loved it. I loved being a boarder. My dorm head and advisor, Allie Murphy, still works here, and we are still incredibly close. Like, that is a relationship I have because of Loomis and helped me grow to 100% be who I am today. It was a vital part of that. And I love it here.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I think definitely it is a true joy to just find genuine relationships and see these kids just really as who they are in your building. And I think just the interplay of like my family and the Wareham family, like my kids call the Wareham boys just the dorm boys. It's a super sweet, unique setting where it just really feels like our family has like bled together and just grown even bigger than the four children we have. And it's just a real joy to like see these kids thrive in a variety of ways, whether it's on campus here or when they go beyond the island, getting the text message when like six Wareham boys are back together off campus. And so just that network of the big family that keeps going on. And again, the tradition of Wareham winning in dodgeball all the time is pretty great to instill and keep it going. Not that I'm competitive or anything.
Cutler won the lip sync. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely not lip syncers in Wareham, but we always finish second. So we at least give effort because we're too competitive not to be. But it's just a really fun place to share life with a group of really talented, like special kids who are just in a really sweet spot in their lives. And I think watching them grow here and then move on and then come back to campus or come back to graduation and to hang out on the Wareham balcony with like the next Wareham class is really cool too.
You can hear the passion and the love for Pelican Nation and the work that our dorm heads do here at Loomis by just the tone of your voices when you talk about that. Again, just thank you so much for taking the time after your dorm life meeting coming here and you're getting ready to go do the next thing. I know it's crazy
right
now.
Happy to be here.
It's the best.
So hopefully everybody who's listening, for those of you who decide to apply to the school and have an opportunity to visit at some point, you may bump into Skylar or Donnie and you can let them know that you really enjoyed listening to what they had to say about residential life at Loomis Chafee. Thank you so much for coming in. And this is Amy Thompson. We really enjoyed it. Thank you for listening.